Right now it's time for Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'm really delighted to be bringing you another edition of Talking Animals, in which we'll discuss diabetes, childhood obesity, how a plant-based diet can mitigate both, among other virtues and topics, with Dr. Neil Bernard, founder of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, or PCRM. As always, though, we're kicking off the show with an animal tune. This is Steve Hobbs with the Woody the Woodpecker song here on Talking Animals. This is Steve Hobbs with the Woody the Woodpecker song, an animal tune of sorts, as we ease into today's edition of Talking Animals. My name is Duncan Strauss, here with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. First, I want to thank all Talking Animals listeners who supported us on last week's Fall Fun Drive. Still, WMFL about $60,000 short of our goal. So if you meant to support us but didn't have a chance or would like to support us again, we'd love to hear from you at the end of this show. I'll personally take your pledge at 813-239-9663 right here in the studio. Just call us just as soon as we wrap up the show, and we'll be happy to do that, and we'd love the support. So meanwhile, in a few minutes, we'll be speaking with today's guest, Dr. Neil Bernard, MD, founder of PCRM, a nonprofit that promotes, among other things, a plant-based diet and preventative medicine. Dr. Bernard is a nutrition researcher who's done pioneering work in diabetes and is the author of more than a dozen books, most recently the Get Healthy, Go Vegan cookbook. We'll find out more about PCRM, his works, on the current efforts and campaigns, about the new book, and more when Dr. Bernard joins us here in a few minutes on Talking Animals. As usual, we'll also welcome your questions and comments at 813-239-9663 or by email at dj@wmnf.org. Right now, though, it's time for a couple of animal news items and or announcements, as we typically like to do, starting with the big yard sale, October 23rd, a benefit for the Little Cats Rescue. It's going to be held at Southern Self Storage on Mitchell Boulevard in Newport Richey, Saturday again, October 23rd, from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Within that time, the Pasco County Health Department will be over with its flu shot mobile from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and otherwise there's going to be all kinds of things offered. Gently used items, including holiday decorations, furniture, DVDs, CDs, household wares, more. So go to littlecatrescue.org for more information. Again, that's Saturday, October 23rd, to help out the Little Cat Rescue. Also on the horizon for that same day is Doctoberfest. It's at the shops at Wiregrass. October 23rd from 2 to 6 p.m., about 40-some-odd rescue groups and vendors attending, face painters, balloon artists, other activities. And a pet-friendly event, perhaps goes without saying, at the Wiregrass Mall in Wesley Chapel. So there'll be prizes, costume contests, live music, pet adoptions, and more, including low-cost microchips. So want to check that out. And the following weekend, it's Stride for Strays, the 10th annual event put on by Animal Coalition of Tampa. That's at Al Lopez Park, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. More information on that, again, October 30th. Can be found at stride.actampa.org. All right, let's step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which involves animal-oriented comedy, selected with Dr. Bernard in mind. This is Mike Kaplan with Ducks and Vegetarianism on today's Comedy Corner here on Talking Animals.
I was in a Chinese restaurant recently, and I was thinking about how a small duck is called a duckling. And I canceled my order of dumplings. Because I am a vegetarian, so do we have any other vegetarians here? That is a little better than I got at the steakhouse. Great. I did comedy in a steakhouse. Honestly, I was like, hey, are there any vegetarians here? Finally, one guy in the back was like, this is a steakhouse. So I moved on. I was like, okay, any Jews here? This is a steakhouse. We eat Jews here. So I left. Like, people hear that, they assume I'm always into other kinds of activism. Like, oh, you're a vegetarian, do you care about the environment? No. I eat the environment, that's what we do. It's made of vegetables. But I do eat some weird things, like pickle sandwiches, like a nice dill pickle on sourdough bread, or a sour pickle on dildo bread. And that's just a word one, everybody. Good work. think words are important. They're really all that separate us from the mimes, you know? So. Here's another word, pescatarian. You know that one? That means my mom, she says she's a vegetarian, but she's really a pescatarian, which means she eats fish in addition to lying about being a vegetarian. That's what she does. She actually says she's like, I'll become a vegetarian when fish becomes a vegetable, which is sadly not the way evolution is heading, so. Unless people are getting dumber and animals are reverting back into plants, which would be all right, but.
All right, that was Mike Kaplan with Ducks and Vegetarianism, taken from his album Vegan Mind Meld. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals. Our website is talkinganimals.net, where we make available all sorts of information, as well as archives and podcasts of past programs. And we also have a link to the Talking Animals Facebook page. Become our fan, will ya? And our Twitter page, please follow us. Plus, there's a place to subscribe to our email newsletter so we can keep you posted on forthcoming guest program news and more. That's all found at talkinganimals.net. It's nearly time to speak with today's guest, Dr. Neil Bernard. So let me outline a few things about him. As I mentioned earlier, he founded PCRM in 1985, a nonprofit organization that promotes plant-based diet, preventative medicine, higher standards of ethics and effectiveness in research, and overlapping that objective, ending animal research. Dr. Bernard is a nutrition researcher with pioneering work in diabetes and a corresponding interest in childhood obesity. He's a health advocate and author of more than a dozen books, most recently the Get Healthy, Go Vegan cookbook. So with a reminder that we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing us at dj@wmnf.org. Let's welcome Dr. Neil Bernard Talking Animals. Are you there, Dr. Bernard?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks so much for joining us today on Talking Animals.
Well, my pleasure.
So, for someone who organizationally and personally has long advocated for a plant-based diet, what does it or did it mean when a President Clinton starts talking in national interviews about embracing a largely, at least, plant-based diet and obviously enthusing about it?
Well, it's a great thing. I mean, it really means that, you know, 20 years ago, this was considered an unusual thing. It was a little bit like in the 1930s, if a person quit smoking and said they thought it was healthier, people thought, gee, that's odd. By the 1960s or 70s, it was absolutely normal. 20 years ago, when people said, you know, I don't want to eat meat and dairy products, I think I'll be unhealthier without it, people might have thought that was odd. But today, it not only is it absolutely mainstream, but I think people recognize that it's a healthier thing. And the question is not whether it's healthier to go vegan. There's no question that it is the healthiest way to go. The real issue now is just how do we help people to make that transition, because so many people see these unhealthy foods as being sort of part of their lives.
Yeah, well, okay, that sort of, in a way, for me, raises a few kind of related questions. I mean, first of all, I in terms of the Clinton thing and the sort of parallel to people who quit smoking in previous decades, what's the impact on the dialogue about the virtues of a vegan diet, or mostly vegan diet, maybe in that case? I mean, maybe it's hard to quantify, but what sort of shelf life does that have when, again, let's say a President Clinton is talking in those terms? Is that just a brief spike, or does the length and depth of the impact sort of correlate very closely with the figure in question and sort of attitudes about him as well as the topic he's...
Well, let's put it in context. It's a terrific thing that Bill Clinton said. What he said was that he had had heart surgery.
Right.
He had stents placed. And he learned that his stent, the stent, which is a little tube that goes into the artery to keep it open, that those were starting to fail, and that he would need surgery again if surgery was even possible.
Sure.
The alternative is he would not survive. So he went on the diet for that reason. And he cited the work of Caldwell Esselstyn and Colin Campbell and Dean Ornish. And he then said, I had this wonderful side effect. I lost 24 pounds.
Right.
Slim and trim at Chelsea's wedding. But in context, this is by no means the only huge media splash we've had. I was walking through an airport and I saw the latest Men's Journal, the October issue. It's got Michael Douglas on the cover. And the top line above on the cover, above the headline where it says Men's Journal, is this, the Power Vegan Diet. And it's a story about Tony Gonzalez and Scott Jurek and other just top-level athletes and why they have gone vegan, because it improves their ability.
Yeah.
And at the other end of the spectrum, I was looking at the grocery store, cover story of Women's World, which is one of the biggest publications. I don't know if anybody buys it, but everybody picks it up while they're waiting for the cashier.
Sure.
The cover story was called America's Hottest Diet. And what it was about all about a vegan diet one of the people pictured inside was a participant in one of our research studies, one of the PCRM research studies. So every day you hear of either a new celebrity who's making this change, a new government official, a sports figure who says, I can't compete if I've got meat and cheese circulating in my veins. So,
sure.
So I'm delighted that the president made this change.
Right.
And yet at the same time, everybody is either making this change or else they know that they should make it.
Right. Well, so Dr. Bernard, because another thing that sort of popped in my head as you were responding to the Clinton thing and sort of saying that it's still part of the dialogue and sort of the effort to get more people sort of, you know, aboard that train, if you will. So here's my own little story. I mean, I was somewhere recently where a small group of folks were gathered and someone had dropped off some vegan cookies and left. And as people entered the room and kind of was very active coming and going where those cookies were, they'd ask about the cookies or someone already there would speak up first. But the gist was sort of the same, like, oh, vegan cookies, like I'm going to make a beeline for those, like, you know, obviously very sarcastic. So as a side note, the cookies happen to be delicious, but what is the dynamic there? I mean, is a dyed-in-the-wool carnivore not even willing to sort of take a bite of a cookie precisely because it is vegan, and therefore does that sort of speak on a larger scale about just, you know, the struggle still to get people to even, you know, take a step in that direction?
I wouldn't worry about that at all. I think it's totally normal for people to be skittish about a new diet.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if you look at chimpanzees of the wild, the little infant chimp will sort of escape from his mother's arms and go pick some new berry or pull something up from the ground and stick it in his mouth. And you know what happens? Is the mother reaches over and pulls that berry out of the baby's mouth and throws it away. The point being that if any animal species just ate anything and everything, they could get poisoned. They could eat something unhealthy. So we're naturally, all species, including people, are naturally a little conservative.
Mm-hmm.
We eat what we know and what our culture has introduced us to.
Sure.
So we look askance at any new thing, even if the foods we're used to are completely unhealthy and the new foods are completely healthy.
Sure.
So you can have people all over Asia eating rice and tofu and vegetables thinking this is great.
Mm-hmm.
But a person in Fargo, North Dakota, where I grew up,
yeah,
and is used to eating ground-up meat and so forth, and if somebody says, how about have a slice of tofu, they wrinkle their brow and they're afraid. It's like, what are you trying to push on me?
Right. Well,
once they try it and they have it made the right way and they realize that they actually feel better and it's tasty, then the doors of healthy eating suddenly are thrown open to them. But everybody's like that. Everybody's
sure.
A little kid. You remember when you were 6 and 7 and 8, you didn't even want foods to touch each other on your plate.
Right.
Don't worry about that. That's the way people are. But what does a vegan diet do for you? It helps people to lose weight. What's America's biggest preoccupation? Is that
sure.
We're fat. We don't like it. We don't feel like we look good. It's the easiest way to lose weight. It gets your cholesterol down. And as I showed in my book called Dr. Neil Barnett's Program for Reversing Diabetes, you can improve your diabetes in some cases to the extent where you don't need as much medicine, or maybe you get off your medicines completely. So this is not just a little diet we're talking about.
Yeah.
This is a way for people to revolutionize their health in ways that they imagined were not possible. And they are not possible with lesser diet. When people get the junk out of their diet, they feel better, they look better, and it answers a lot of their problems.
And you know what, too, you just sort of touched on something that I've been thinking and sort of preparing to speak to you today is that, you know, when folks are sort of pondering making those sort of dietary changes or maybe at the moment, you know, frankly, poo-pooing them, they might be surprised to learn how far you yourself have traveled. I mean, you alluded to, you know, Fargo, North Dakota. I mean, it's a long way from there but on both the geographic and dietary level. And and, you know, so all kinds of people are you know, capable that once they sort of just decide to or take a step or two and just try it, like you say.
Anybody can.
Yeah.
What I always do is when we do research studies at the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, which I founded, as you mentioned, we do research studies. And I assume that everybody who's hearing about a diet change, on the one hand, they really want to make a change, but they're like that person who's at the swimming pool, and they want to jump in because the water looks so beautiful. But they're sort of sticking their toe in the water, and they're kind of unsure and whatever. Once they jump in, they think it's great. So what I do is I'll say to people, number one, let's understand why we're doing this. For my patients, it's they want to lose weight, and they tried every other diet, and it doesn't work long-term for them. They've heard that this is the way. that the weight just stays off forever without counting calories, without limiting portion size. Or they want to get their cholesterol down, or they've got diabetes, high blood pressure, or high cholesterol issues, and they want to get off their medicine. This is a pathway that they see for doing that. And they hear of all these success stories, like the president and others, who've lost phenomenal amounts of weight so easily.
Yeah.
So they're attractive. But then you've got to break it into two steps. And the first step is don't change your diet. Just take about a week and try different foods. And whether it's my Get Healthy, Go Vegan cookbook or somebody else's book, fine. Try the different recipes. John McDougall and many others have terrific recipes. You just give them a shot. See which ones you like, throw out the ones you don't like. After about a week, you'll know what you like for breakfast. Maybe it's my blueberry pancakes or oatmeal with cinnamon and raisins, whatever. For lunch, maybe it's my veggie chili or a bean burrito or spaghetti with marinara sauce, whatever. Once you know which ones you like, then the next step is to block out about a three-week period on your calendar and have every meal during that time be a low-fat vegan meal. But since it's only 3 weeks, you can really give it 100%, knowing that you can always go back to what you're doing before if
sure.
you want. At the end of that time, two things happen. First, people feel healthier, their cholesterol's coming down, they're losing weight, their energy's up, their digestion is suddenly good for a change. But the second thing is, their taste has changed. And they didn't expect that.
Mm-hmm.
They discovered that they like these new foods, and they're discovering new things, and they say, I want to do this for another week, I want to keep going.
Sure.
And so if I break it into those steps, try the different foods, then do a three-week test drive using the foods you've established that you like, then I've never seen anybody who can't do it. It's the easiest transition you can imagine.
Sure. Well, let me remind folks that this is Talking Animals. If you just tune in, we're speaking with Dr. Neil Barnard, founder and president of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, PCRM, and author most recently of the Get Healthy, Go Vegan cookbook. We invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663. Or you can email us at dj@wmnf.org. We already do have a couple of emails that we'll get to in one sec. But one other thing, too, that about the book and I hope this doesn't seem like sort of a left-handed compliment, but actually, one of my favorite sections of the new book is in the introduction, the sort of brief part devoted to language and terms. I've just kind of had sort of concerns about the use of certain terms regularly employed in the animal welfare world and how often sort of, really bright progressive folks use terms in a way that's kind of either sloppy sometimes or even a bit judgmental or emotionally loaded and in a manner that they, I think, surely wouldn't in any other realm. And so maybe if you could just sort of review your thoughts on this, why, for instance, you prefer to use vegan diet as opposed to calling people vegans.
Frankly, this goes along with a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, people referred to the elderly, the blind, the disabled.
Yeah.
In other words, they're using an adjective as a noun.
Right.
And it ends up being pejorative.
Yeah.
And so I don't do that. You can say an elderly man if you want to, but don't say the elderly as if this is some kind of special class. And I don't like to refer to a person as a vegan. And the reason is, for some people, they imagine that that's a person who's wearing a tie-dyed shirt and has antennae sticking out of his head. So I say a vegan diet. You're the same old person you always were. Your personality doesn't change. If you were a conservative or a liberal or whatever you were, you're the same guy. But the only thing that's changed is what's on your plate. So it's not that you were a savage carnivore and now you are a holy vegan. You know, what you've done is you're eating a vegan meal instead of a meaty meal.
Yeah.
So I use the words like that.
Cool. Well, let's see. We've got people calling. We've got people emailing. So our first emailer says, I'm not sure about veganism or vegetarianism for me. Could you ask the doctor to give a quick overview of the benefits of a plant-based diet versus a meat and plant-based diet? We've sort of done that, but if you just take a brief timer, I know we're already going to quickly run out of time.
Just in a minute.
Sure.
People lose weight very, very easily. And the reason is when you're eating a plant-based diet, all the foods have fiber that fills you up. And it tricks your appetite into shutting into being satisfied earlier before you've had so many calories. It also revs up your after-meal metabolism a little bit. So we see very, very impressive weight loss. Cholesterol levels fall dramatically because there's no animal fat or cholesterol in the diet. We showed in our NIH-funded study that diabetes improves, and in some cases you just can't detect it anymore. And then needless to say, for people who are concerned about the fact that Americans eat animals, a million animals per hour, I'm speaking especially for young people, where they don't care about their health, but they care about animals. Well, what's a kinder thing than to leave animals off your plate? The environmental movement, the United Nations and the National Academies of Sciences, recently said that this is a great approach for combating global climate change. So it's hard to find a reason to continue eating meat, to tell you the truth.
For sure. All right. Well, thanks for that question. Let's put we have a caller here. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Dr. Neil Barnard. Do you have a sort of a very brief question?
Well, my name is Michael from Seminole, Florida.
Hi, Michael.
I want to say I'm 62 years old. 20 years ago, I lived in Rockville, Maryland. I had the opportunity to hear Dr. Barnard talk a couple of times. He influenced me so much that I became a vegetarian. 2 years later, I was a vegan. So I've been a vegan for 18, 19 years now. And I just want to thank Dr. Barnard for the work that he's doing. And I would like to urge the listeners to contribute to Physicians for Responsible Medicine, PCRM, because it's a great organization that has really been helping the health of this country. And that's all I got to say.
Well, Michael,
Thank you very much, and congratulations on your diet change, and thanks for your support. I really appreciate it.
You are the best.
Thanks a million. That's really kind of you.
Thanks so much for the call, Michael. So, yeah, while we're at it, let's say that the website is simply pcrm.org, and boy, talk about a wealth of great information. And we're already sort of running short on time, so I'm just going to maybe skip around a little bit, Dr. Barnard, if you don't mind, just because they're related to that wealth of information on the website. Is there's so many things that PCRM is working on and concerned with. So one of the things, not surprisingly, of course, that we're interested in at this show, among, pretty much several others, is, the area of animal research. And so all things considered, how does the effort to sort of in animal research involving animals look to you at the moment? I mean, I'm not steeped in it the way you are, but it does seem like, some monkeys and chimps are being, still thrust into some kind of new experiment. In fact, maybe you could just talk for a moment about about NASA's plans.
Right. We have, at PCRM, we have a whole wing of our organization that deals with preventive medicine, nutrition, doing better. But we also have a wing that deals with research, conducting research studies, and making research more ethical. So that's what we're talking about now. And when it comes to human beings, humans are sometimes abused in research, and so we tackle that. But animals are abused virtually every time they're used because they can't give consent. What you're speaking of is NASA had a plan to take squirrel monkeys and subject them to radiation similar to what people would get exposed to on a trip to Mars. We feel that it's A, cruel and unethical, but also scientifically very flawed. We've been fighting it hard, and we've been working very hard with NASA and with the Department of Energy, and we expect to have an announcement on that fairly soon. For people who want to get involved in that issue, please do check our website, pcrm.org, and there are many ways to get involved and get active.
Great, and sort of nearing the end of our time, I'm afraid, but there's another thing that actually I heard about from a friend that I hadn't been aware of. I mean, there's so many things that PCRM does that it is hard to almost get your arms around them. But I mean, this Geico sort of pilot program, I guess, that began near PCRM's headquarters, which is, sounds really interesting. I mean, partly just to not hear Geico for a moment in the same breath as selling us insurance, but really, it sounds quite notable. What happened? Maybe you could sort of just describe the program,
sure,
the results, and sort of what might happen next.
Geico is a car insurance company, and they have sites around the country. And in 2007, they introduced vegan meals in the cafeteria and a lunchtime discussion group for anybody who wanted to go vegan. We conducted this as a research study, and we showed that it helped people lose weight, their cholesterol improved, their diabetes improved, and the company was thrilled with it. So we're talking with them about an expanded program. By the way, just one quick word. I know we're out of time. For people who are thinking, will I get complete nutrition? Don't worry about protein. You're going to get plenty of protein. Calcium, think of green leafy vegetables and the bean group, loads of calcium. But do take a multiple vitamin, because I want you to make sure you have a source of vitamin B12. Yes, it's in fortified vegan foods, but you may not be eating those. So take a multiple vitamin every day, and your doctor is going to be so impressed with your great health that he or she is going to tell every other patient about it.
Wow. Well, that might be just sort of the perfect way to bring this to a close. Again, I wish you had much more time. Maybe we'll hopefully speak again some time to cover the multitude of other stuff we just didn't have time to today. But again, this is Dr. Neil Barnard from the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. And the newest book of many, many is the Get Healthy, Go Vegan Cookbook. The website, one more time, is pcrm.org. And Dr. Barnard, thank you so much for making the time to join us today on Talking Animals. It was a real pleasure to speak with you.
Well, it's been great talking with you today. Thanks
a lot. All right. It's time now for Duncan Strauss, and it's time now for Name That Animal Tune, where the we will have a prize, a copy of Laurie Anderson's new CD, Homeland, featuring piano playing by her dog, Lolabelle, to the first person who calls 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this animal tune. It's Name That Animal Tune on Talking Animals.
Well, she's fashionably lean, and she's fashionably lame. She'll never rank a scene, she'll never break a day.
All right, we have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals. The program airs twice a month, specifically the first and second Wednesday of each month. So we'll return Wednesday, November 3rd. I hope you'll join me then. Talking Animals broadcast outreach consultant is Libby McKenna. My thanks to her. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. We're closing out today's show, as always, with an animal tune. This is brand new music from Robert Plant, his version of Lowe's Monkey on WMNF Tampa. Give a call if you can support WMNF, 813-239-9662. We have some nice ways to thank you as well. All right, we'll see you soon. It's WMNF Tampa.